Welcome to the Walking Through Time podcasts. There are plenty more to make your visit to New Norfolk more enjoyable.
Well, the cartilla is the last of a type remaining in Tasmania. She's one of the, well, the last of the river steamers. There's one other in Victoria at Warrnambool, the Rowetta, which was built up north, but cartilla was built here in Hobart at Purden and Featherstone's. And she was built for speed. And at that stage, the Togo, which had also been built up north in Launceston, was the fastest vessel on the river. Cartier was built for the Huon Channel and Peninsula Steamship Company, as it was then. And they wanted to take the Cock of the River off the Togo because it was a fairly prestigious prize to have. And it was a Christmas Day race. And so she was designed with speed in mind. Designed by Alfred Bloor and Tom Purden of Purden and Featherstone, and she was built in 1912, launched on the 21st of September that year. Did the first commercial run on the 1st of January 1913, and she's been operating here in Hobart ever since, and operated for over 100 years full time. She's now temporary out of survey, awaiting a restoration. When I was fairly young, we go up to New Norfolk on Boxing Day, and there'd only be one boat going up there, but you'd dress ship, you'd have the flags up, and there was rowing on the river, there were speedboats, there was other activities on the river, and of course all along the foreshore at New Norfolk there were all the sideshows and various stalls. That's since been replaced a little bit by the autumn festival that they run in New Norfolk now, but I still don't think it's on the scale of what the old regattas used to be. It was the first regatta of the season, and the next one was Shipwrights Point on New Year's Day, and as a young lad I remember going to both, and I've seen a photo of the steamers in New Norfolk on Boxing Day, and there were six steamers tied up alongside each other with the original Egeria on the outside. They'd have a bit of a race up there, and of course the first in tied up, and then they'd have a race home. And what they used to do when it was time to go home, they'd have them all loaded. The one alongside the wharf would untie, it'd go ahead. The one on the outside would go astern, they'd turn around. And as soon as they were turned around heading down the river, all hell broke loose and away they went. You can imagine what the authorities would say if you did that these days, but there was no harm done. No one ever came to grief. To my knowledge, there's no record of anything that's ever happened untoward, and people had a great joy. And I don't remember the governor arriving, but I remember the various sporting events, and then there was a Miss Regatta competition at all the regattas around. But you'd go up there and there'd be a lot of people, you'd take 200 or 300 people up on the boat. And in the earlier days, in the 1920s and 30s, there were five and six boats go up there at times and taking people up there. So it was a huge event. Well, I grew up learnt the trade going to New Norfolk on the other vessel. We had Marana, which is namesake's now operating in Port Arthur. But she was a bit smaller than Cartilla. She was only about 102 feet, not 123. And the reason we ran her was because she had wheelhouse controls on the engines. And so she was a bit more handy to run with a small crew than the Cartilla was. And we used to go up and down to New Norfolk three times a week over the summer season, Monday, Thursday, Saturday. And we'd take people up there, and it's just a fabulous trip. And especially in autumn time, you see the reflections and the colours in the trees on the river. And if you took a photo, unless you knew the lay of the land, most people wouldn't know which way was up. I've seen those stunning photos, and they're just beautiful. And the whole, from Bridgewater Bridge up, it's just one view after another. You get a good run about 2.25 hours, sometimes 2.5. Sometimes you'd have a bad run both ways because you'd have the tide running out on the way up and you'd have the tide running in on the way back, and then you cop the sea breeze as well, so that'd slow you down. And sometimes you'd have to wait at Bridgewater for the train. My dear father, he nicknamed it TGR, it was called, Tasman Government Railways, and he named it the Great Rush. And the train could be at Claremont, and they would turn the power off to the bridge because that was controlled at the Granton power, at the Granton station, and you couldn't get through the bridge until the train went across. So you'd wait half an hour, three quarters of an hour for the train to go. And that happened on a fairly regular occurrence. It was just painful. whereas the boat could have been through the bridge and gone long before the train got anywhere near the other end of the causeway. But the gatekeeper, which is Mr. Gates, was the main one on the bridge. He had no control, because if he had no power, he couldn't put the bridge up. The railways controlled the power. The whole thing about New Norfolk, it was all developed like the rest of southeast Tasmania, basically developed on water transport. And even in the early 70s, there were still 13 little bits of jetty, or various jetties between Bridgewater and New Norfolk. And the steamers used to go up, like the Marana would go up, she was built for the New Norfolk run. And they would go up and they'd just pull in, and there'd be a couple of piles there, and they'd tie up and load up the produce and unload what was to be delivered, and then move to the next one, and they'd sort of zigzag up the river. And that's how produce was moved in those days. And it'd take all day for it to get to market, or to get to the market the next day, because it came back and unloaded that night and ready to go ashore the next day, sort of thing. So, and of course, you had Boyer Paper Mill, and the tugs and barges operated there for 40 years, from 1945. Carting the newsprint back down the river and the paper pulp up the river.
And do you think, you know, ferries might have sort of recreational trips back up there?
I think so. It's subject to the Bridgewater Bridge. The government spent $14 million on it to upgrade it, and they've got computer controls on it now, so you can't open it over certain wind strengths and all sorts of things, whereas prior to that, it was open in any wind strength, regardless of the conditions. They could lift it up and down. And we were running a trip up there with Car Taylor not too long ago, and the bridge got stuck, and that was for an autumn festival function. And we had to turn around and bring everyone back to Hobart and unload them, and some had to go out there by car because they had appointments. Young Jack Lark was doing a cooking demonstration. I couldn't get him there, so we had to bring him back, offload him here and shoot him out in a car to New Norfolk because we couldn't get through the bridge. The outright cruise, Richard, is gone now. People just don't want to go just for a cruise. They want to go to a destination. They want to use the cruise as part of the experience of the destination. And the proof of that is in the Mona experience and also Pitman Bay. Nowadays, they just don't want to go for a cruise all day on a boat. They want to go somewhere, get off, do something, then maybe return. Otherwise, they might come back another way. But I can see in the future that the car dealer could operate the ideal scenario would be to do a return trip to New Norfolk with the car dealer as steam powered and the steam train running back to Hobart. And that would create a fabulous experience because you'd see the river from both angles. And you've got a historic destination in New Norfolk itself. And the history up there is, well, only second to Hobart, and it was only a few years after Hobart was founded, they founded New Norfolk. So it's a lot of... you've got the history, you've got the scenery, and you'd have the experience of two forms of transport that are no longer as common as they used to be.
The Walking Through Time project has been made possible through the assistance of the Australian Government's Your Community Heritage Program and funding from the Derwent Valley Council. We would like to thank the many members of the public who have given freely of their thoughts and memories to make this project a success.